But once again, it's such a delight to be together. I enjoyed the facility of these Zoom meetings, but there's nothing like this. I am not going to the book of Ezra this morning. I want to ask that you turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. This is a kind of a Mother's and Father's Day message. Kind of a Mother's and Father's Day message. During the recent times that we've gone through, I've realized all the more the blessing of meeting with my church family. Compared to some churches, we're quite small. Yet I have realized more than ever the wonderful blessing of just meeting together. And I'm reminded, and we'll bring this up again in the scriptures, but the Lord shared with His disciples. He shares with His disciples today, and He will share with His disciples until He comes again, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. What a blessing. In the book of Mark chapter 10, there's three verses of scripture that I want to read, and one of them is a quote, book of Mark chapter 10. One of those disciples has a comment to make, and I realize we're breaking into the middle of a passage of scripture here, but he has a comment to make that I'm sure it wouldn't be very long then he wished he hadn't said it. Peter says something here in the book of Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Now I don't think there's much that we would say about Peter's comment, because it wouldn't be long and Peter would say, oh my, I have done nothing compared to what the Lord did to come to me. I don't think after a bit of thought, Peter, after he said, he would realize it was very important at all. When he learned more about the humbling of himself that we heard read there in the book of Philippians this morning, where the Lord humbled himself and became obedient, the Lord humbled himself. We can't even get our fingers around that. I would like to stay right here for just a moment and turn with me over to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And I want to reread just a couple of verses that our brother read. Philippians chapter 2. Peter was going to learn more about humbling or more about giving up soon than he knew at that moment. It would not be long. He would find out that he had not given up anything. And yet we read in history that he probably gave his life as a martyr. He was going to learn what it was. But here in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, it says there, verse 6, who being in the form of God. Now, we can't grasp that because he's just saying, before the foundation of the world, I am God. There is no past, present, or future when we look at the person Christ Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit. There is no time element with them. And we find here that he made himself, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to cling to or something to stay with, because the outcome of what he was going to do would be of great value. It goes on to tell us there, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, I thought about that yesterday and I thought about it last night and I've thought about it this morning. I cannot get my hands around that. I cannot grasp what it was for the Lord to humble himself as he did. With such great humility, he gave up the glory that he had in glory before the world was and came down on purpose to entertain himself as a man, to take upon himself the flesh and bone that we have, to be humbled as he was. There's no greater humility than all of that, and he truly gave up all. Now, Peter shares with us, Lord, we've given up all, and I'm convinced that it wasn't very long he realized that's probably something I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. The Lord goes on, as it's written about him, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then, wherefore, God hath highly exalted him. In his resurrection, he highly exalted him. In his ascension, he highly exalted him. And sitting down at the right hand of the Father, he's highly exalted because he did exactly what he was going to do, and that was to give his life a ransom for many. Well, let's go back over here to the book of Mark for just a moment, and we'll notice a couple other verses that the Lord Jesus shares with Peter and with the rest of the disciples that were with him. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Now, there is some sense that we do that. Now, it doesn't mean that we had to actually leave our family or our wife, but to place the importance of the gospel in its rightful place. The Lord goes on to tell us in that passage of Scripture in verse 30, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now, did you notice there is one person left out that's found in verse 29 that is not mentioned in verse 30? Fathers. Did you notice that? Well, I believe the Lord is sharing with us that don't forget your fathers, but there is one father that is highly important, the Father which is in heaven. We have him. Well, the point I want to make this morning is that the Lord Jesus shares with us, he answered and said, if you've left, you shall receive 100-fold brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. Physically, the blessings are there, and spiritually, the blessings are there, and I want to share how valuable it is for me to gather together with you. You are my family. You are the ones that we have a relationship. I can get around my own brothers and my own sisters, and we talk about platitudes. I get around you, I get to talk about my Savior. I get to talk about spiritual things. I get to talk about things that are important, things that are valuable. That's what I get to do when I get around you. You allow me to stand in this place and share the gospel. And what a blessing that is to be refreshed in the gospel as I study for it and to share it with you and then to have you receive it as the truth of the gospel. How little we find we have left, yet how much has been given to us. The fellowship of saints has left an enduring mark upon all of Christ's sheep. The fellowship of the saints. To get together with one other sheep is more than can be compared with all the riches of this world. I'll never forget it, the story of a missionary. He was in a foreign land, and he was just having a tough time, and he was in a marketplace, and guess what he heard? Someone speaking English. He didn't know that person from Adam. He didn't know that where that person was, But there was a commonality between those two. He found himself in that person's presence, and they begin to talk about home. You know, that's just the way it is with God's sheep. We get to talk about home. We get to talk about real important things. Now, we may talk about the affairs of the world. We may talk about whether the earth is spherical or flat. We have all those issues that come up. But we get to talk about home. How they wish to gather together, to reminisce about what we have and have been given. And we are far from deserving anything that we've been given. And yet we get to reminisce about it. So I appreciate the words found in Acts chapter 1. Would you join there with me in Acts chapter 1? Mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, children, would you join there with me as we go to the book of Acts chapter 1, and we find in that very first chapter the Lord Jesus does something with his disciples that he had done a number of times, and that was he assembled with them, he gathered with them, he was in their presence. It wouldn't be very long and they'd find out what an actual blessing it was to have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ right in their midst. Sometimes I don't know whether they appreciated it while in his ministry, but it would not be long they would appreciate what they had. Here in the book of Acts chapter 1, the former treatise, verse 1, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach unto the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We have some of that recorded, but we have his ministry recorded by and large throughout the Old Testament, and we find that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then in verse 4, notice that with me. And being assembled together with them. What a blessing that was that day. Just before he ascended back to the Father, that he assembled himself with them. Now there are several translations that add there that there's part of that word that could mean they sit down and had a meal together. I mentioned Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to that time. When we can sit down and have a meal together. Well, whether the Lord did or not, we do find here that he assembled together with them. What a blessing of God's free and sovereign grace that God Almighty would assemble with any of his creation. That he would condescend to be in our presence and to give himself to a ready eye, to have a ready ear, hear him as he speaks, to have ready feet go with him where he goes. All of these blessings that God provides to his people, to his children, and we as mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, and children get to enjoy together as we meet together in fellowship around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he assembled with them. He was close to them. He visited them, and we have the privilege today as we assemble together around the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to have in a spiritual sense what they had in a physical sense. As we mentioned in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, it says, "And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That promise comes true when two or three of God's people meet together. Now, he by his Spirit allows us to assemble, and he assembles with his people where the truth of the gospel is held high. The truth of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is held high, even as he said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw my people to me." It is an exalted gospel. It is a high gospel. It is a glorious gospel. And when that is held high, what does it mean? Have a high thought of Jesus Christ the Lord, that he is more than just a mortal man that walked upon the earth, but he has the truth, and he said himself about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He shared with us through the scriptures that no man comes to the truth except the Father draw him. We can't comprehend it. We can't grasp it. We can't get a hold of it until it's revealed by the Father. Where does he assemble? Where the redemption work of Christ is declared as recorded in the scriptures, as God himself shares with us, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Don't add to it, don't take away from it, but let us rejoice in that. And then we find out that where sheep are gathered together, there, the Lord in the midst of them, because the glorious gospel is held high. God is held high, exalted. He's more than just someone that sits in the car beside us and we call him our co-pilot. I am resolved that our friends in Denver, Colorado right now, Brother Lance and Sister Robin, are far from thinking that Jesus is their co-pilot. The God of heaven is the pilot of his people wherever he leads them. He was the fire and the cloud that led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. And if you've ever looked at a map of their travels in that wilderness, their paths crossed their paths several times. It wasn't that they didn't have time to get where they're supposed to go, but God Almighty himself said, you will not go, because we had 10 wicked spies come back with an evil report. What does that mean? They didn't hold God high. They didn't hold the gospel high. They didn't hold the redemptive work of Christ high. But those two came back and said, our God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Where is he meet? When the heart work of the Spirit is declared as recorded in the Word. I don't know how many people I visited with recently, and they just leave the Holy Spirit completely out of the work of salvation. Why? Because it's all up to men. And when it's all up to men, is God going to assemble there? Is God going to be in that group? When he said, as we heard this morning in the Bible class, time and time again, just from the Psalms, the work is the Lord's. The work is God's. The work is his. And we're the recipient of that work. So, where two or three are gathered together, as the Lord Jesus Christ assembled with his disciples just prior to his ascension, he met with a group of people that recognized the fact that he is the gospel. He recognized the fact that he did die for a people, and that the Holy Spirit is the only minister that will bring that gospel to our heart. They agreed with that because he met with them. And when he left, and he gave them power to preach that gospel, they without fear would preach it in the face of the very enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets with where God is declared as he's recorded in the Word. The God that not only created the heavens and the earth, but the God that creates the new creation in Christ Jesus. That God. The folks that love the message love to gather, and it is double valuable, for that is where Christ testifies of his grace in the gathering together. Not as a form. Not as a form. Not as a picture. Not as a rock. Not as that stuff. I'm not a writer, never will be. But I wrote an article, it's in the back of your bulletin, because there's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament that brought out in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, those folks were just entangled with the physical things, and the Lord says, we have been brought to Mount Zion, the city of the New Jerusalem. You know, you can't grab it. You can't put your arms around it. You can't see it. You can't behold it. You can't say, come over here, folks, and look what I've seen. It's all spiritual, and there's nothing physical about it. And that's what God does. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4 as we look at this blessed privilege that God has extended to us to enjoy our fathers and our mothers and our brothers and our sisters and our children. I find it great comfort when people's children, other people's children, come to me and say, you're kind of like my dad. I like it. Here in the book of Acts chapter 4, I have to say something about chapter 3. Chapter 3, there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, and he was healed by Peter and John. And guess what? Peter and John are arrested for doing that. In chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was eventide. They arrested Peter and John for healing a man that was in a terrible shape, born that way. That's kind of like we are by nature. We're born that way. And we need someone to help us out of that way. Well, if you travel down with me to verse 23 of the fourth chapter, it tells us there, and being let go, after they admonished them, don't you preach this anymore. They were let go. They went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They went to their... Where did they go? They went to a sheepfold where there were some other folks that knew what they were talking about when they were preaching the gospel. They went to some other folks who understood that God is in absolute control of what just happened. They went to some folks that believed that God Almighty is in control of even the kings that commanded them not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. They went to some folks, as it tells us there in verse 24, or verse 23, and they went to their own company. Now let's travel down to verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They went to their voice with one accord, that which last, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. We have some agreement. Where's the Lord going to be? Where they agree with the Lord. Here's some folks that know what just went on was absolutely from the hand of Almighty God. They're charged for healing a man that is from his very birth crippled. And they get together with folks just like them, that believe just like them, that have had the same thing revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, and they say, Lord, we recognize this is of you. Does it sound familiar? Lord, we are assembled together, realizing this is of you. This whole thing. Goes on to tell us, by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. Is the Lord with them? Oh, absolutely. Why? Because he has brought them to this place, and they understand that the God that had them is the God that brought them through that, and also They understood some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down here on purpose to go to the cross and give his life a ransom for many. They agreed on that. They're sheep of the same pasture. They enjoy the same green grass. They've been redeemed out of the bondmen. They have been brought to a presence with the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he's in their midst, and they're crying, pouring out their soul to Almighty God, saying, Lord, you brought this, and Lord, you came on purpose, and Lord, you redeemed us from the hand of the fowler to do. And whatever they did by your permission. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that all with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And then notice verse 31 with me. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. They knew where to be. They knew the need to be. They needed to be together with people that God had touched the lives of, just like them. They were not there for some religious observation. They were not there for some picture. They were not there for some type or some shadow. They're there because of Christ. And they're there because God Almighty had brought this upon them, and they are rejoicing in God Almighty, and they are assembled together because they agree in the gospel. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 11. As fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters and children are gathered together. One more time, Acts chapter 11, verse 25. Acts chapter 11, verse 25. There is a group of people that have heard the gospel, and they are crying out to God to bring someone down here where we are so that they can feed us. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the rich blessings of the gospel in our home, but notice here with me in Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. It says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now Saul has quite a reputation already. He has a pre-gospel reputation, and he has a post-gospel reputation. Pre-gospel reputation, he is a scoundrel, a mean guy, an ornery. A post-gospel reputation, he immediately preaches Christ and him crucified, preaches the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those verses of Scripture that he had memorized from the Old Testament actually became alive to him. They were just words on a page, just words in a scroll, until the God Almighty saved him by his free and sovereign grace. And now all of those verses of Scripture said, there's Christ, there's Christ, there's Christ, there's Christ. All of those things are there. And he was a different person. And he began the very first message he ever preached was not about himself, but was about Christ. Began to preach Christ. They go up there and find him in Tarsus. That's where his home was. And when they found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now, you know what those people were doing? They're just like we do with a cup of water and a straw. They were enjoying it. Here is a man brought into their presence who knew something about the gospel, and for a solid year, they got to hear the gospel preacher, Saul of Tarsus. Now, did you notice the last caption of that verse of Scripture? He assembled with them for a whole year. And the last caption, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Whoa. Now, first of all, it was a term of derision. They didn't take that name upon themselves. They would have just said, we follow God. Who are you? What are you about? We follow God. Well, everybody does that. Well, let me tell you about this God. He's in charge of all things. His son came to die for a specific group of people. He's sitting at the right hand because he is successful in what he came to do, and he will save all his people from their sins. Now, that's the God we worship. Oh, we can't agree with you. But there were some that did, and they were willing to drink of that living water that Saul of Tarsus brought down to them when he preached Christ in them crucified, because every one of those people understood they were the chiefest of sinners, and they were gathered together for one purpose. They needed help. We need each other. We need help. That's why I'm so glad to gather together. I'm the most needy person of the whole group. I need your help. I need your love. I need your prayers. I need you. My life is not fulfilled without you. It was very difficult on me when we couldn't meet. And my tears fell down my cheeks the first time Judy brought that message, that Zoom up, because I got to see your face again. What's so important? Because we have an agreement in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we realize He is the all and in all. That when we talk about God, we know who we're talking about. And when we talk about the gospel, we know who we're talking about. And when we talk about sin, we know the only one that can take care of it. And when we talk about a Redeemer, we know there's only one Redeemer. And where He is right now is at the right hand of the Father. He's not in some tomb over there in the Middle East like all the other prophets are. Moses is still in the bones are still in a tomb. And yet we rejoice that one time he stood by the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and said, "You fulfilled all the law." That word assemble found there in that verse 26 is a word that we find over in John 18 and verse 2. Judas knew about this place. He that betrayed him knew of the place, for Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples. Aren't you glad that there's a place that the Savior often resorts with his disciples and sits down in our midst? And we rejoice at the feet of the Lord Jesus. One other passage before our time is up, and that's found over in the book of Acts chapter 15. I thank you, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, children, the privilege to meet together. I thank you. Here in the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 23, and there they wrote letters by them of this. Acts chapter 15, verse 23, they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. These folks here were going around telling that Christ is not enough. You must have other things take place. You must have this besides Christ. Subverting your souls. You know what they didn't like to do? Assemble with believers. Oh, they sat down for a short season. But when they found out that there was nothing else going on, reminds me of a man from Montana called me up, and he said, I've had a friend of yours recommend your church. I said, fine. He says, my first question is, what do you have for kids? Well, I understood what he's asking. Do you have basketball? Do you have swimming? Do you have special church for them? And all I could answer is, the only thing we have for children is the gospel. That's all we have, is the gospel. Now, I don't mind going on an outing with kids, but all we have for kids is the gospel here. All kinds of things are suggested. Most people want someone to take care of their kids for 3 or 4 hours so that they can have a break. That's what grandparents are for. They said, "You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by the mouth. And for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost to let us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now notice verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord. Now that word means in agreement, to assemble in agreement. Now I save that for last because it is a blessing. To assemble in agreement. To have a high regard for God, a high regard for His Son, to have a high regard for the gospel. That is the only thing. No, we're living in a pandemic, but there's a far greater pandemic on this earth than that. This pandemic, I don't know how many thousands of people that have died as a result of it worldwide, but I know that the other pandemic that I'm talking about, everyone will die of it. Everyone. We're born into this world to die because we're sinners. And if God does not intercede somewhere in our life and allows us to hear the glorious gospel of the redemption of His Son and snatches us out of a horrible pit, that will happen physically as well as eternally or spiritually. But I'm thankful to get together with folks that God has revealed His Son to, and we can rejoice in Him. So thank you, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, and children, that we can do that. I need you. I pray that we need each other. Because it is then Jesus Christ said, "I will be in the midst of you, where two or three are gathered together in my name, agreeing upon these serious truths, I will be in the midst of them." There's no greater place that anybody could be than to know that the Spirit of the Most High God dwells with us in our meetings. Brother Mike.